You can dismiss the kids. Have fun. Be kind to your teacher. I don't know. I noticed there's quite a few missing, and I think the flu bug is going around. I know it's hit our house a little bit. So, Lord, we pray for all those with the flu, too, that for a quick recovery, that no one will be sick for Christmas. And, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do today. And I thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. And I pray, Lord, that what I have to say, God, will not be anything from me but just your heart this morning, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would just that we would hear from you and whatever's on your heart, Lord. So I just pray that you'd help us to receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So this week I've been reading through the Gospels, all the accounts that they give about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, you kind of look at one, you get a little bit of the story, you look at another one, you get a little bit. And I don't know about you, if you've ever used Bible Gateway, but I love, you know, you can bring up like five or six versions at once on the screen. And I love doing that. I read through and then read through another version, then read through another version. And it just kind of helps you get a fuller picture. And I've been using the Passion Translation a lot lately. And so I want to read a couple scriptures to you that kind of jumped out at me this week that I wanted to, just bounce off of last week with to keep going. And so the first one is John 1, verse 16. And now out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him, we receive grace heaped upon more grace. How many know that's a good thing? Moses gave us the law, but Jesus, the anointed one, unveils truth unwrapped in tender mercy. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor, that's my typo, sorry, except the uniquely beloved Son, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now he has unfolded to us the full explanation of who God truly is. Isn't that good? So Jesus came to unfold the explanation of who God truly is. If you've ever wanted to know more of who God is and what he's like and how he wants to interact with us and how we're to interact with him, study Jesus. Amen? It says, and I mentioned this verse last week, but I just wanted to read it in the Passion this week, Matthew chapter 2. When they saw the star, they were so ecstatic that they shouted and celebrated with unrestrained joy. When they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they were overcome. Falling to the ground at his feet, they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure boxes full of gifts and presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's something about when we come into and encounter Jesus, when we encounter the good news of the gospel, there's a response of joy. Everywhere that you read about the gospel, there's joy. If you need joy, share the gospel. If you need joy this morning, remind yourself of what the gospel is in your life. Amen? How many could use some joy? You need Jesus. Jesus literally brings joy. When you meditate on who he is, when you meditate on what he's done in your life, you can't help but have joy. It's true. And then Luke chapter 1, I know I'm bouncing around, but there's just some of these that stood out to me, and then we'll talk about it. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God. That's good, I think. I like that. Not one promise from God is empty of power. How many of you know that God has promises over your life? Do you know what they are? Do you know that he's been speaking to you? And he has specific plans, specific promises for you. And you can go to verses like this and say, okay, God, you promised it. I'm going to stand on that promise, and I'm going to keep declaring and keep waiting and keep praying and keep fighting until I see that answer. Amen? Jesus coming as the Messiah was a promise, fulfilled at just the right time. And many people had been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, saying, where is this Savior? Where is this promised Messiah? And Jesus came to deliver a message. Did you know that? His life was a message to us. And when you look in the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. And it means Yahweh is salvation, Yahweh is restoration, and Yahweh is deliverance. So Jesus came to save, to restore, and to deliver. Jesus came to save, to restore, and to deliver. What does it say in John 10 that the enemy came to do? The devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In 1 John, it says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. So what the enemy came to steal, Jesus came to save. What the enemy came to kill, Jesus came to restore. What the enemy came to destroy, Jesus came to deliver. So what needs saved, what needs restored, and what needs delivered in your life? Jesus came to set you free, to save you from your past. He came to save you from your sin, from your shame, from your guilt, and he came to give you a future. He came to restore the relationship that we have with God so that we could personally walk with him, that there would be no hindrance, there would be no veil, there'd be no barrier, there'd be no wall between us and walking in his presence and hearing his voice and communing with him, because that's how we were designed to live. That's how we were designed to function in the Garden of Eden, remember? So Jesus came to destroy the damage that sin had done and restore us to him. Jesus also came to restore us as a whole, emotionally, physically, spiritually, the whole works. He came to set us free. That word sozo, he came to save, to make us whole. Are you whole this morning? And he came to deliver us from any snare, any trap, any lie, any entanglement that we have with the enemy. He came to deliver us from that and to set us free. That we could have, what's his promise? We could have life, life to the fullness. Awesome. And I was just thinking about this week, and I thought, you know, I feel like as Christians, we are always in danger of becoming very complacent about the gospel and about the good news. Because we've heard it and we've rejoiced and we've received it. And for some of us, that was 5, 10, 15, 20, 35 years ago. And what happens is sometimes we stop focusing and reminding ourselves of who Jesus is and what the gospel is. And it becomes very easy then to take our eyes off of him and all that he's done for us. And where do we naturally go to look then? And we start to be selfish. And we, instead of saying, God, how can I serve you? And how can I love others around me? And how can I see with your eyes? We start to look at ourselves and say, how could someone serve me? And look at how big my problems are. And what is anybody doing for me? You ever heard of that word entitlement? That's not just for the millennial generation. That's, we all fall into that real quick and real easy. Anybody been there? It's just natural for our, I think, is natural human flesh to just start looking at ourselves instead of anybody else and to God, because we naturally try and think, I can do this myself. And it was that moment when we realized I can't do it by myself and that there's something I need saved, I need delivered, I need some way of finding the real God, something real to fill the void in my heart. That's that moment that we came to a realization that I need Jesus. And it was in that moment when we received him as our Savior that everything changed. But for some of us, it's been a while. And for some of us, it's been a long time since we shared that with anybody. And there's a reason that God said, that Jesus said, I've called you to go and make disciples of nations. We're called to continually be making disciples, because the more we talk to people about Jesus and the more that we influence the world around us, the more we focus on the gospel. And the more we're filled with joy. And the more we see him move. And the more power we see flow through us to other people. It's not about us, it's about the world around us. But if we lose sight of what Jesus came to do, if we lose sight of who he is, and I mean, that's what Christmas is all about, but if we miss that, then it really, really, really quickly becomes about me. And I wave my own flag. And you name it, whether it's in church, whether it's at home or in your workplace, when as soon as we become selfish, it becomes divisive. And it becomes hard to work with you. And it becomes hard to, like, you name it, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I don't want to dwell on that. But that's, Jesus came to show us a better way. Show us a better way to live. Show us a hope that we didn't have. And show us that there's a future for us. I had coffee with somebody here, I think it was this last week or the week before, who had just come back from Africa. And they were sharing with me how I think they spent 2 or 3 weeks in Africa, and they were sharing how they never saw any mental health issues, anything like what we have here, no depression. And it reminded me of when I was in Africa, and it's so true. You know, I remember seeing a lady come, and she, with this big smile, said, I have a cup of rice. I have food for today. I remember I was helping with Canada Food Grains Bank, and we would hand out food. We'd go with these trucks. And this lady was beaming, and I looked at that little cup, and I thought, how can you be so thankful? You know, like I would be really hungry with that. And they were so thankful they had some food that day. And I remember thinking that everywhere I went, people were happy and filled with joy. And it bothered me actually, because I thought, how can they be so happy? And I come from a culture in Canada where we are so mad and so jealous and so bitter and so, we don't have enough stuff, right? And that's the danger of Christmas. We begin to focus on stuff and what we're gonna get or what we're gonna do or, you know, what's the next gift, instead of focusing on what has Jesus done? Do I have something to be thankful for? That I have a, I mean, if you live in this country, we have for the most part a roof over our head or we're in trouble, right? And we have the finances in general to do that. Most of us don't have to ride a bike for 3 hours to get to church. When I was over there, some of them walked for 3 days to come here and speak. It's pretty humbling when somebody will walk that far just to hear you. We don't realize how good we have it. We also don't realize the responsibility, I believe, that God has given us to be able to sow into those countries to help them. Not just to give blindly, but to go and say, I want to give to help. I want to help set up, like some of these people, like John Capone that we support, who is going into the nation of Liberia and setting up an orphanage and training them, educating them to change the nation for the good, to spread the gospel and to help turn that corruption around. We need to give to that because we have lots. We always forget that and think, I don't have enough, until you look at some other places in this world. But we have so much. It's the good news that brings happiness. So if you're not happy right now, focus on the good news of the gospel. Not about what you don't have. So as I was reading this week, I can't remember where I read it, but it's talking about how it had been, I think it was approximately 400 years since the prophetic, God had been moving in any very significant way in the culture of Israel. And all of a sudden, everything came to life as Jesus came. And so you see, as you read the different descriptions in Matthew and Luke especially, that God was at work and God is moving. And he spoke many different ways. There wasn't Facebook, there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't Twitter, but God used everything at his disposal to speak to us. And he's still doing that today. And so I just want to read, I want to go through some of these. Do you guys remember the guy named Simeon in Luke chapter 2? All right. He'd been promised by the Lord that he would stay alive until he saw the Messiah. And so when he's dedicated, when Jesus is being dedicated at the temple, he says, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Jesus is a light to all people. He came to show us the way. And so the prophetic was an, and this was a prophetic promise that had been fulfilled, that Jesus had come. The Messiah was here. And so I just want to quickly run through some of the story in terms of how Jesus, how God is speaking to us. So he used angels. Do you agree? All right. When Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 was in the temple performing his priestly duties, you know, that was an incredible honor, because there are so many priests that probably once in your lifetime, you actually got the honor of going in there and ministering to the Lord in his presence in the temple. And so Zechariah is in there, and an angel comes and speaks to him about his son coming, John the Baptist, right? And then we have the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying, you're going to have a child. And so God uses angels, and he still uses angels today. People get a little uncomfortable because, oh, you know what? I've never seen an angel, but I know they're at work. And I know that God uses them today all the time. So to ignore them and say they're whatever is foolish. They're there, and God is using them, and they're ministering to us. They're ministering to the Lord. They're doing what he calls them to do. They're working, and that's just important to know. God uses dreams. Dreams like Joseph had, where in Matthew, he's debating divorcing Mary when he finds out she's pregnant. All right, he's thinking about quietly just leaving her and going on. And he has a dream where, again, an angel comes in the dream and says, this is a God thing. It's going to be good. Don't go anywhere. Stay with her. And so God used dreams to not only things like that, but he used a dream for Joseph saying, get up and get out of here. You got to go to Egypt. You got to flee to Egypt because Herod is going to try and kill all the babies. So they take off. Then when they return, he has a dream again, right? And so God uses dreams. Any of you ever have dreams that you think, man, I think God is trying to say something? Anybody? Sometimes, I've had some incredible dreams. And here's why I think God uses dreams a lot. Because sometimes we are so busy during the day that we give no time for God to speak to us. But when we lie down at night, our brain shuts off and our spirit is still very much awake and alive. And it's in those moments when he can bring a dream and speak to us while we're sleeping. And sometimes I've had these crazy vivid dreams and I'm like, I have no idea. I just know that God is trying to speak to me. So I get up in the morning and I write it down quick as I can. And I phone people that I know and trust and say, pray with me because this makes no sense to me, but I feel like God's saying something. And it's amazing how many times I realize after praying with someone about it, God showed me what he's saying. And I had some real obvious ones too. Before I came to Maple Creek, I was in Carmen. I remember waking up one morning. You know, you're kind of in that half awake and half still in a coma state. Like you're just, I don't want to be awake, but I'm starting to wake up. And I remember I just, all of a sudden out of the blue, I had this evangelist that I know. His face appeared right in front of me and said, you're going to move soon. That was it. And he was gone. And I got the call. It was within a month anyway from the church here. And there were several other things that God used to line up. Before that, God speaking to me that I was going to come back. But that's the kind of thing that God can do. And sometimes it's a real obvious thing like that, like right in your face, like, hey. And sometimes it's really not that clear, but you're like, I think this is God. And you got to search it out a bit. But he uses dreams, and he's still using dreams today. Amen? He spoke through the Holy Spirit, the prophetic, with Simeon, with Anna, like I said, when they came and prophesied over Jesus. God also uses nature. I don't know if you were up early this morning or if you've been up, you know, early lately, the bright star, Venus, I think it is, right? Up in the sky over here. I was walking to the church this morning and I was looking at it and I thought, I wonder what it was like for the wise men that came to follow Jesus, you know? And last week, I can't remember what day it was, but I woke up at like 4 a.m. and there's Caleb. He had crawled into our bed at some point during the night and our blinds are up and he's sitting there staring out the window. And I'm like, Caleb, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm looking at the bright star, looking at Venus, you know? And God uses nature to speak to us. Every time I go skiing in the mountains and I stand at the, you know, at the top of a peak and I look around, I'm just in awe at the beauty that God created. You know, it's just amazing. You can't tell me that that was a boom and an accident, you know? And I go out in the bush to hunt and I watch animals and I just sit out there and breathe the fresh air and it's like, wow, God, this is incredible. And I always find myself reminded of his incredible creativity, his, like, just what he can do, his power and his raw, amazing nature that he can do that. So God speaks to us in nature, and he'll use things like a star, you know? He can do that. He'll use whatever he has to use to get our attention sometimes. God uses worship. this is one of the things I wanted to focus on this morning. It's been on my heart the last few weeks, you know, just to do with the Christmas season, that worship is such an important part of our life as a Christian. And, you know, Zechariah was in the temple in Luke 1, fulfilling his priestly duties when the angel showed up. He was worshiping the Lord in there. And that's when God spoke to him. And the angels came and began to glorify God in the field with the shepherds, you know. And you see that in the midst of worship often comes the heart of God. We hear his heart. We tap in. I have a secret for you. I actually don't like singing that much. Do you know that? Some of you are like, you're a liar. I was thinking about this actually a couple weeks ago when I was preparing for the Carol Festival. I was just praying about it a little bit and thinking about it while my dad was speaking. Sorry, I was only partly listening. And I have a confession to make first. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, Lord, why is it that sometimes I just struggle with some of this stuff because I, you know. And actually, God began to speak to me. Like, you can sing without worshiping. You can also worship without singing, right? And what I began to realize is that I love to worship God, and I learned to connect my heart to him through singing. So when I'm doing that, I love it. But I've had people say, hey, why don't you pick up your guitar and come, we'll just go play some old rock tunes, or we'll go goof around, whatever. And I'm like, nah. Doesn't interest me. And I began to realize I actually don't like singing that much just for the sake of singing. I used to be in the back corner with my arms crossed going, why are they singing this over and over and over again? And I would still be there if my heart wasn't connecting with the Lord. I would. And so here's something to think about. If you're not there yet and you wonder, why are they singing that over and over again? Let God, just ask God to reveal his love to you. Because I got something to tell you. When you get just a little glimpse of his goodness and his faithfulness, something in your heart goes, And you can't help but want to glorify him. And whether it's through song or whether it's through serving him, listen, worship isn't just singing, but it's everything that we do to bring glory to God. So if it's serving him, if it's giving out of your wallet, if it's giving of your time, if it's singing, if it's declaring his word and his promises, whatever that might look like, it's worship. All right? And it's in those places of worship where we lay our life down and say, God, I want to lift you up and put myself lower. I want to give you the honor and the glory that you're due. That's when our heart gets in the right place to hear from him. So when we worship God, again, whatever that looks like for you, it's like it creates a runway for his presence to land in your life and in your circumstances and in your situation. And so when you worship him, again, now the Bible commands us to do things like sing, shout, dance, clap, all this kind of stuff. The Bible tells us that is worship to the Lord. To engage our body, because it's the actual human, like we have an instrument, a temple that he's given us to bring glory to him. And so God wants us to use what we've got, all right? Sometimes we have this excuse, I don't like to sing, or I don't like to clap, or I don't. Well, the Bible actually tells us to do it, so do it. But at the same time, let your heart get into it. If you do it, if it's just a religious thing, kumbaya, my Lord, well, that's terrible, all right? And you will never connect with God doing that, right? Are you hearing me? But there's something that changes when your heart says, God, I love you with all of my heart, and I don't know how else to express it, but I'm going to sing it out, or I'm going to shout it out, or I'm going to tell my best friend or whatever, but God, I love you, and I care for you, and whatever you've shown me, this good news of the gospel, that I can be saved from my mess and my sin, Jesus, thank you. And when we begin to have this thankfulness and this heart of thanksgiving, this heart of praise to be able to lift him up, when you realize how good he is, how amazing his love is, so I'm going to cry, that's crazy. There's something that changes. And you might have all this stuff going on in your life. Circumstances can be bad. They can be stressful. They can be difficult. And in those moments when you can lift God up, your eyes go off of all that stuff and onto him. And his peace and his joy can flood your heart. And you can keep on going. But it's like when Peter got out of the boat. When he had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking. When he looked at the storm, he was sinking. And it's no different for any of us. And in the midst of Christmas right now, it's easy, like I shared last week, it's easy to look at all the busyness going on and get discouraged, and you had to spend a lot of money on gifts, and you got to travel, and you got to do this and this and this that you don't feel like, and all you want to do is relax, and there's all this stuff to do. Sometimes Christmas can become like that. I hear a lot of people at Christmas grumping and frustrated because of just stuff, right? And we can get like that if we're not careful. Put your eyes on Jesus. That's the point of Christmas. And go, when you go to these gatherings, and tell someone about the good news of Jesus. And bring the power of the gospel with you. So pray for the sick at Christmas. Tell somebody about your testimony. What has God done in your life? They actually want to hear it. So worship is huge as a Christian. We need to connect with him all the time. Last week I mentioned about his daily bread. We need his daily bread in our life. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our weekly bread, monthly bread, Sunday morning bread, daily bread. And part of that is connecting your heart. We have to be able to worship, to press in, to see what he's doing, to hear from him, because it makes us come alive spiritually. Amen? Do you know that in this story, God uses the government, right? At just the right time, the government called for a census, so that Mary would fulfill again another promise to give birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. They were living in Nazareth, but a census came out at just the right time so that they could collect more taxes. It might not have been a happy thing, but they traveled to Bethlehem because that's where Joseph was from. And so, I forget now, I'd read this a while ago, but I think that Nazareth to Bethlehem was something like here to Medicine Hat, similar distance. And so it would have taken several days. It wasn't like an hour drive for us. But Mary, at 9 months pregnant, was riding a donkey, which last I checked isn't that smooth to ride. I remember when my wife was pregnant, and she was overdue. And so I remember she tried the pineapple juice and tried. I took her, actually, for one of our kids at work, I took her for a ride up in the hills on the quad and all the bouncing. By that night, she was in labor. But I can just imagine, nine months pregnant and riding a donkey. For anybody that's pregnant or remembers that, that probably wouldn't have been fun. And I'm surprised that Joseph was still alive when they got there. But when my wife was pregnant and it was time, I got in the car and we were going 140 or 50 to the hospital. We were not wasting time. And they got on the donkey and they went. And at just the right time, they got there. And of course, after that lovely journey, there's no room for them, right? And they end up in a stable. And, you know, I was thinking about this week and I thought, God could use Trump. And I thought harder and I thought, you know what? Like, God can even use our government. And I thought, what if? So here's a question for you. What if God uses a man that's in government that has gone after our principles, our values, our morals, the foundation that this country is built on in 3 years has gone after it? What if God is using a man like that to get the church's attention to wake up? Because he can use anybody. And he can use any circumstance in any situation. And he can even use a government that doesn't honor God or glorify him. But when you look at our country's history, that people came here because they wanted to bring the good news. They were coming as missionaries. Many came and planted, like cities like Montreal were planted for the gospel. When you read in the history book. And they came and they wrote letters home saying, people are receiving the good news of Christ. People are receiving the message. And then, of course, you look at how our country was founded. And we even have scripture on our parliament buildings. It's because this country was founded on the gospel in many ways. The values of this country, the healthcare we have was brought on by many Christians getting together and beginning to organize healthcare. The schools, the education system we have, it comes from Christians. They took the Bible and they taught them. And that was the start of our education. So everything we have comes from that. And the church, I'm sorry to say, has been very quiet for a long time. And we have, again, become complacent in some ways about what we're about and what we really believe. And we have allowed the enemy to do whatever he wanted. Because many of us, when things happened, we were silent. And all of a sudden, prayer's not allowed in schools. And I know some things are out of our hands, but the church in general in this country needs to wake up. We need to stand up and say, we believe and we trust and there is a good news and there is something better. We need to stand up. There's many, 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 many people around us that do not know Jesus. And so we're seeing what we're seeing because the church has been quiet. God speaks to us through his word. Matthew's account of the Christmas story reveals how the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, and even when you look in Luke at Mary's song and Elizabeth's song, she meets Elizabeth and she shows God. God follows through with his word every single time. When was the last time you let God speak to you through his word? There's a scripture that says that his word is a what? A lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you're wondering how to follow God, if you're wondering what to do with your life, spend time in this. All right, he will speak to you. And finally, Jesus was the ultimate message. God spoke through Jesus coming to us that the Christ child is the word becoming flesh that John talks about. At the beginning of the book, John reveals that the word was with God, the word was God. The opening of the book of Hebrews reveals that although God speaks in many times and in many ways, his ultimate word to us is a person, Jesus. The angels told the shepherds, "This shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, laying in a manger." All of God's words are contained in Jesus. They were then, and they still are today. So with the last few minutes here, I just want to challenge you. Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That his promises, that the gospel that he brought 2,000 years ago is still applicable today. It's still powerful today, and it's still real and true today. And for many of us, we need to remind ourselves and rekindle the passion for the people around us that Jesus came for our friends, for our neighbors, and for our family. And sometimes I think we lose the joy because we, again, like I said, we become selfish instead of looking out. So let me ask you this morning, what is God saying to you? I'm just going to invite the worship team or Renee if you want to come play. What is God saying to you? The Jews were looking for, remember, a political savior, right? They saw the mess on the outside. What they failed to recognize was the absolute mess that they were on the inside, the spiritual depravity that they had going on inside. They didn't understand they needed a savior for their soul. They were spiritually bankrupt, and they missed Jesus because of that. I was listening to a guy named David Hogan. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but a week or two ago, I was listening to a message of his, and he was talking about, well, he was sharing, he's seen 37 people raised from the dead when he's prayed for them, which is pretty incredible. And he's got a phenomenal ministry. He's an interesting guy if you listen to him. But he was sharing this story about how he was recently in Africa, and he was asked to come and pray for the sick at this conference. And he said there was a field and there was one tree, and he was sitting in the shade underneath that tree, and he was just waiting for his turn to go and pray for people. And they'd flown in this chef from somewhere to cook and prepare food. But the chef came and found him and said, "Hey, David, I need you to come with me." And David said, "No, I'm just here to pray for people. I don't want to help in the kitchen or cook or, you know." And he said, "No, you got to come with me." And so he said, "Okay." So they go in the back, and he says, there's these huge like military pots. Can you just turn it down a little bit, Wayne? And the piano, just so I don't have to yell. And so there's these huge military pots full of food. And he said it looked good. There was chicken and there was rice and there was all this stuff. And he said to the chef, "What's the problem? Looks like good food. You got lots." And the chef said, "Have you looked out there? How many people there are? There are thousands of people that I didn't expect." He said, "I've got like less than half the food to cover all these people." And so David said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" He says, "Pray for the pots." And so David said, "Okay." And so they prayed for the food to be multiplied. Then David said he went back and he sat under his tree and he just watched people go eat for a couple hours. And he said, after 2 or 3 hours, the chef came and got him. He said, "You got to come see this." So he went back in the kitchen with the chef, and the chef shows him the pots, and the pots are still completely full. And the chef looks at David and says, "How do I make it stop?" And David said, "That's not my problem." But you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, that is the God that I know and love and serve. That is the God that we know. That is who he is. That is how he moves. And so Jesus came to show us that he wanted to save, he wanted to restore, and he wanted to deliver. And that means making us whole. And so physically, spiritually, emotionally, he looks after our needs because he's a good father. That's what Jesus came to show us. And guess what? The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in your neighbor, lives in you. And we're called to be the light of the world. And we're called to walk and demonstrate and model. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ, which means that we get to go and do the same things that Jesus did. Remember the story about Jesus multiplying the food? That's what David did, right, in this story. We're called to do likewise. So go and be a blessing to people. Go and bring freedom. Go and bring hope. So Janelle, do you have something? Okay, you want to come? Jesus offended a lot of people when he taught because he told them the truth. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but through me." Jesus offended people because of the way he loved people. Jesus offended people in lots of ways, because he poked every religious body or every religious button in people, right? And I want to tell you this morning that we need to fall in love with God and not be stuck on religion. We need to believe again. We need to hope again. We need to press in again. Do you need peace? He's the Prince of Peace. Do you need hope? He's the God of hope. Do you need joy? Then press into the gospel. Do you need healing this morning? What's that? Yeah. So I asked Janelle this morning in worship practice, I said, "Hey, pray for a word of knowledge." And I put her on the spot. But I just feel this morning that God wants to move in our midst. And I just, when I was praying yesterday, I really felt strongly that he was saying, "I want to heal people, I want to touch people." So I want to make room for that. And so Janelle, why don't you share what you got, and then I got a couple.
Okay, great. All right. So, well, first of all, I just want to say I've gotten words of knowledge multiple times, especially like my trip to Brazil that you guys have all heard about. But every time I get one, it's amazing, and I'm just always thrilled, and it always comes in a different way. So don't be discouraged if you don't, you know, get a physical something that hurts and, oh God, you're not talking to me. Because this one, I was standing up there, and right as worship started, I just saw a brick wall in front of me all of a sudden, and it was kind of like, whoa, okay. It went away, and I was like, okay, God, like, what's that about? You know, I need a little something else. And so he just showed me, and I don't know who this applies to or how many people, there's been someone or multiple people who you've been praying for something for a long time, and it just hasn't come, and you kind of feel like you're stuck now, like, you know, God, you're behind this wall, I just don't know how to get there. There's also someone or multiple people, I'm not sure, you've been kind of doing things your own way for a little bit, and now you're stuck, and you're like, hey, God, you know, I'm ready to come back. And so, yeah, if that speaks to you, I would love to pray for you.
Does anybody this morning need physical touch in your body? Sickness, disease, okay? So I was praying last night, and again, I just sensed this. I don't know. I totally could miss it also, but I don't care. I'm just gonna go for it, all right? You got grace for me? All right. So anybody have issues with your, I think it's the right shoulder. It could be either shoulder, but right in, it's like a torn rotator cuff or something in your shoulder. Like, I just felt, especially like along the seam almost where your normal, like a t-shirt would sit, like you're right across here. Anybody? Is that anybody? You got shoulder problems? Okay, several of you guys. So we want to pray for that. Anybody with the right shoulder in particular? Just because I wasn't sure, but okay. Yeah, hey. We've prayed for your shoulder already, and it's been healed. Yes, okay, we're going to pray again. That's awesome. I want to pray for everybody with a shoulder problem, though, because I just really sense that. Migraines. We have migraines, especially last night when I was sitting there. I just felt like there was something almost, and maybe it isn't a migraine. I just kind of assumed, and I'm learning with this, so help, you know, forgive me if I... But almost like the right eye, there was like a bit of pain, and it went right around to the back of your head. So I don't know. I just assumed, well, that's probably a headache, a migraine kind of thing. But if somebody have some kind of pain issue with your right eye or migraines often, or does that describe anything that makes sense to anybody? Yay, nay? Yes? Okay. And I'm not saying you even have to have a migraine right now, but just that's something you struggle with often. I've just felt like there's... Okay, so... then I also, there was... I just had a sense that somebody was having stomach problems with... And I don't know if it's like indigestion or like... some kind of pain or anyway, I just felt the whole area strip across right across here in your belly button almost that there was just, and whether it's like indigestion or allergies or like you're allergic to certain foods or whether it's like Crohn's or something like that. Is that anybody? Okay, awesome. So I want to pray for you. And someone else, big, it was like pain running across the top of your foot into your big toe. And it like, I just felt like it almost ran in a straight line down the bone that goes right into your big toe. Anybody? Foot problems? Yeah? Okay. A couple of you. Okay. And then anything else? We want to pray for that too. So here's what I'd like to do really quickly, because I totally forgot we have to do the baptism. Whoops. So here's what I want to do really fast. Those of you who we called out, if that's you, would you just stand? Yeah, and...
Just emotional healing, just feeling like you're stuck somewhere from whatever that may be.
All right, so emotional healing or any of those physical symptoms that we mentioned. Did you know that Jesus can heal lots of people at the same time? And I really had this clear sense last night that he said, I want to heal. So I want to make room for that. And so... If you're beside someone or around someone that is standing, would you just kind of extend a hand or put a hand on their shoulder or something? Unless it's their bad shoulder, don't do that. And we just want to pray for them. And you know what? Even if you don't have someone praying for you, that's okay, because there's more of you standing, I think, than sitting. So we're just going to pray. We're going to trust Jesus, because Jesus said that he came to set us free. He came to show us the way to the Father. He came to show us the Father's heart. And wherever Jesus went, people were healed. He healed every sickness and every disease, every time. And so, Jesus, I thank you that you're a healing, wonderful, miracle-working God. And we command every sickness and every disease in this place to go in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command those with the shoulder problems, we command the muscle and the ligament and the tendon and the joint to be totally restored right now in Jesus' name, that everything would be formed back together. God, I pray for those with migraines, that struggle with migraines or any kind of head or eye problems that you kind of described to me. I just pray for healing and freedom and deliverance from those headaches in the name of Jesus. No more headaches in Jesus' name. God, I pray for those with foot problems, with pain running into the top of their foot or into their toe. God, I pray for complete healing in the joint, in the bone. God, whatever is causing that pain, we just ask for a miracle in Jesus' name, that they'd be fully restored and fully healed. Those with stomach problems, discomfort, indigestion in their stomachs, God, we just pray for a new stomach lining. We pray for healing in the name of Jesus. And God, for those who are just struggling emotionally, those who have a wall up, God, I pray for breakthrough. I pray that you would break that wall down today in Jesus' name. And God, I pray for every other sickness, every other disease in this room, that it would go in the name of Jesus. And by the power of your blood, I thank you that there is power to heal in your name. And so God, we take the authority that you've given us as your children, and we say, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
God, I just thank you that you are faithful, God. It doesn't matter what we go through, God, that you're always going to be there and you're always going to heal us. So God, I pray for all of the physical needs today, that every tendon and every ligament and every muscle, God, will just be put back into place, and any headaches or migraines or anything there in the head area, God, that would just be healed, God, 100%, God. And I just pray for people emotionally, God, that because you care about every single aspect of us, that our emotions and our emotional needs are very important to you as well. And so, God, I just pray for that wall, that you would just start to destroy it and take it down brick by brick, God, and that they would be open to you again. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Janelle. So would you do me a favor, just as you're seated, would you do me a favor and just check? I know some of you may not have even had that pain today, but especially if you had the pain, just see if it's gone. And just check if you can do something you couldn't do before. And let me know. Anybody feeling something's changed? Yes? Awesome. Doris? Velma? How's it feel? Good? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else this morning? Check your body if you can. Are you being shy? Yes? Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Would you tell us really quick? Is that okay?
I just felt an incredible comfort when the ladies put their hands on me, and I've been struggling with a lot of pain in my spine right now and a lot of shoulder pain, and when you said that, I was thinking about it at that moment, and it feels a little less painful.
So it's a little less?
A little less painful right now.
Where is it now on a scale like 1 to 10?
I would say manageable on like 4.
4?
Yeah. Okay. I thank you.
What's your name?
Anita.
Anita? Can we pray for Anita? Yeah. Would you help me? Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in Anita. I thank you, God, for touching her body. I thank you, Jesus, that you care so much for her. And you love her so much, God. And you don't care, Lord, who we are, where we come from, any of that. God, you have a plan and a future and a hope for us. And I just, Anita, before we even pray for healing, I just sense that God really has some great things in store for your future, for your life, that he is going to restore so much that you thought could never be restored, and so many things that you thought were broken beyond repair in relationships and things like that, that God is going to bring you so much peace and so much joy and so much hope. He's going to show you how good he is. And so, Father, I just pray for Anita. I pray for her spine to be completely healed in the name of Jesus. We command that pain to go in Jesus' name. I pray for her shoulder as well to be totally restored in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that it's dropped to being a four, but Lord, we just pray for it to be completely gone. So God, we command it to go from a four to a three to a two to a one to zero in Jesus' name. And I bless Anita with your love and your peace and your joy in Jesus' name. Amen. You feel it? Is it getting better? Is it totally better? Okay. Okay, so one more time. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, we thank you for your healing. And Lord, we bless Anita and we command the pain to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I really think God's going to keep touching you. And so that's awesome. Anybody else this morning? Just wave your hand because I want to know, you know, when the Lord highlights something like that, it's because he wants to move. He wants to do things. So we want to know. So don't be shy and don't, we need to give him the glory. Sometimes we steal the glory from God when we don't say, hey, God healed me. So it's really important actually to say, God healed me. God touched me. Does that make sense? Okay. It's not for my glory. Okay. I gave up any glory by being willing to say something because you know that my foot could be in my mouth just as fast as anything else. But I want him to be glorified. I want him to be honored. And so it's in that that we, that's why the gifts are there. Amen? Sorry.
Praise Jesus. God is good. Amen. Now we're going to baptize two people. Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first step that people do is to accept Jesus as the personal Savior. And the next step is that they proclaim publicly that they belong to the kingdom of God. And by being bought and baptized, they're demonstrating what Jesus has already done. They took the old person, the old Tina, the old Isabel, and washed away their sins. And they go through the grave and out comes a new person, a new creation in Jesus. Amen. So Isabel, do you want to go first? Wayne, don't record this, okay?